Shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Stand
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. We would like to thank, our sponsors now are different.
Yes, they are.
Our sponsors are now all of you out there, the people that help support us. We had our first annual fundraising dinner. And
they came out and showed their support real well.
Absolutely. You guys out there in the community are now our sponsors. So we really appreciate everything you do to keep the show on the air. Today is July 6, 2013. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
And our all-around great gal and soundboard operator and producer, Savannah.
Hey, thank you. What a compliment.
It's what we do. It's how we roll. It's who we are.
You're doing a great job over there.
Absolutely.
Hey, thank you.
You're listening to 1460 KCNR, Free Fire Media, Free Fire Radio, Community for the North State. I like to say Community Radio for the World.
Oh.
That's my new slogan, Community Radio for the World.
Nice.
Okay, because we are streaming worldwide. You can go to KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Mark, M-A-R-K-E, middle initial, Kent, K-E-N-T, and maybe put Reading for the city, and it'll pull up, and I should be there. Do we have any, veterans cards?
We do. We have a grand opening for Homeward Bound. This will be at 3711 Meadowview Drive here in Reading today from 10 to 4. This is for post 9/11 veterans and their family. We're out there showing honor and respect and healing today. So come out and join us. There's going to be hot dogs and stuff. And if you can, bring some canned food, drop it off so that they can put it in the pantry for the veteran families.
Very good, very good. I have two quotes today. One is long, one is short. I wasn't sure if I wanted to read the long one because it is pretty long. But I think it really says a lot, and I hadn't seen this quote before. And so I'm going to read them. Money, when considered as the fruit of many years of industry, as the reward of labor, sweat, and toil, as the widow's dowry and the children's portion, and as the means of procuring the necessities and alleviating the afflictions of life and making old age a scene of rest, has something in it sacred that is not to be sported with or trusted to the airy bubble of paper currency. That was Thomas Paine.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a quote you don't see in school or anything. I never saw anything like that.
I remember that one. And then my next one is, life is hard. After all, it kills you. That was Katharine Hepburn. So, let's see. I think we're going to have Linda Lai from the ACLU today on our program, and she should be calling in at,
8:15, and we'll be talking drones.
Drones. In the meantime, I got a few headlines here, the weekly lineup. I mean, some of these headlines I read is like, holy moly. I almost said something else.
But be careful.
It's like, holy crap, Batman. I guess you can say crap, huh?
Yeah. Savannah's not that close to the button, so be careful.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, now she's good.
So, okay, I was reading through this. This one is from, I got a couple here from Infowars.com. This is Alex Jones' website. And, you know, we were talking about drones, and documents expose predator drones spying extensively in the United States. So evidently they got a Freedom of Information Act, and we'll go over this more with Linda. I'm sure she'll know all about it. And then the other story from InfoWars is FBI plan to kill Occupy leaders. Now, isn't that saying something.
Yeah.
Murdering political activists is business as usual for the ruthless ruling elite. Now, that sounds like a pretty strong headline, and you'd think, oh, that's got to be baloney. But according to journalist David Lindorf, the FBI planned to assassinate leaders of the now moribund, I guess, I'm not sure what that word is. I've never seen it before. Occupy movement via suppressed sniper rifles. Now, this comes out of a Freedom of Information Act request that the FBI verified as being real.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's been redacted. The document's been redacted. It's obtained from the FBI in Houston. And then identified, deleted, as of October, planned to engage in sniper attacks against protesters, in quotes, in Texas, Houston, Texas, if deemed necessary. And identified, deleted, had received intelligence that indicated the protesters in New York and Seattle planned similar protests in Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio, and so forth. Deleted, planned to gather intelligence against leaders of the protest groups and obtain photographs, then formulate a plan to kill the leadership via suppressed sniper rifles. Really? If that doesn't give you a little bit of a chill up your spine,
exactly.
I don't care whether you like Occupy or not, who's next on the list?
Exactly. And where is it going to be?
And evidently, I'm getting that the FBI confirmed that this document is legitimate. So that should tell you something about big government out there, people, that does that, I mean, remember we got the NDAA, the Patriot Act, you know, oh gee, remember that big filibuster in the Senate with Rand Paul about, gee, Mr. President, do you think it's okay to kill Americans on American soil without a trial? Do you think you have the power to do that? And basically the answer was, yeah. But we'll be discretionary.
Yeah.
Really?
At whose discretion?
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, I read that and I was like, holy moly. Actually, I said something even worse, but, you know, we won't go there. So, yeah. So, with that, you know, I just don't even know where to go from there because, you know, it's like unbelievable. So, I got a couple more headlines here we'll cover before the break that I thought were interesting. This is coming from G. Edward Griffin's website, Unfiltered News. And it's about banking in London. UK, the London Metals Exchange is now requiring 100 days waiting period to deliver gold for those who have already paid for it. Now, this is...
So you can't just go and withdraw your...
No.
Your asset from the bank.
The original website to go to is Bullion Bulls Canada on this, fraud confirmed. Now, what this means basically, you know, is that they're selling gold that hasn't even been mined yet. Okay, and with the squash of prices, the miners can't even afford to mine it. And so...
Your little piece of paper probably isn't going to do you a lot of good.
So what they're trying to do now is they're actually bribing people with cash. It says, as these failures to deliver by the London bullion market, cash settlement represents another category of bullion default. The LME can't supply the metal, so it buys off the buyers with large bribes to ward off the official bullion default, which becomes more inevitable every day. How large are the bribes? Even far back as 2009, it is rumored that the normal size premium paid to buy off traders was approximately 25%. Naturally, such bribes will be accompanied by non-disclosure clauses, conveniently prohibiting buyers from confirming these serial inventory defaults at the LME, and that would be in New York as well. So that ought to tell you something about what's going on in the gold market, people, and why it's been suppressed, and there's a reckoning coming. So I just thought I'd pass that story on to you, and you can go read the rest of it and confirm it. Anything else before the break?
I think our caller is on the line.
So we got Linda on the line.
Yeah, we'll go to a break and come back, and we'll get into it with Linda about the drones. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Head out on the highway, Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Our lives are becoming more hectic with higher demands from our work, family, and our day-to-day living. This can lead to stress, exhaustion, and even serious illness. Hi, I'm family herbalist Peggy Spindalelis from the Healing Through Nature show on KCNR. Along with my husband, clinical master herbalist Arundel Spindalelis, we operate NorCal Herbal Studies here in Redding. Herbal medicine offers a safe, natural, and effective treatment to balance and restore the body back to good health. It can help with anything from acute to chronic long-term illness, or simply restore your health and vitality. Here at NorCal Herbal Studies, we believe in treating our patients in a safe, holistic, and natural manner. If you would like a change in health based on time-honored ways, please give us a call at 722-6728 or check us out at NorCalHerbalStudies.com.
Don't be shy, just let your feelings roll on by.
Pulse Urgent Care welcomes back Dr. Richard Musselman, joining Dr. Clayton Reinhardt, Dr. Seeger Beatty, and family nurse practitioner Deborah Wright in Pulse's newly expanded facility. Pulse doctors are available to serve you for any urgent care needs 7 days a week from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Flu shots are now available. Pulse Urgent Care is on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart. Call 722-1111 or visit pulseurgentcare.com. Medicare and private insurances are accepted. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Yeah, if we survive. I believe we have our guest on the phone with us right now. Linda, are you there?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to give a brief little bio on you. I got pulled up here that you're a staff attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union of Northern California, and that your current litigation is a suit against the University of California at Davis for use of pepper spray on student protesters, another against the city of Oakland for its crackdown on peaceful Occupy Oakland protesters. Prior to joining the ACLU in 2010, you partnered I don't even know if I want to try to say that, Altshuler. Berzin.
It was a very long firm name. I used to be in private practice.
There you go. And you've represented labor unions in the federal and state court and so forth. And so it looks like you've done a lot of stuff. And you also got your undergraduate degree from Yale and a JD at, I guess that's Bolt Hall?
Yes, at UC Berkeley.
At Berkeley, there you go. You're not a conservative or a right winger by any stretch, it doesn't sound like.
I believe in the Constitution, so I think we have a lot in common.
I'll tell you, you just said the magic words to me. I mean, that's the real deal. I think that we are starting to understand we need to put this right-left paradigm behind us and start focusing on the big issues, which is, you know, the Constitution and freedom and things like that. And so it's great to have you on the show, I guess where should we start? I mean, this drone thing is kind of a big deal.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction. And I think you said it so well, that when it comes to our civil rights, our constitutional rights, our privacy and government overreach, our politics, our political views don't matter. It's all about, you know, whether the government is respecting us as individuals and the rights in our Constitution. so I'm really delighted to be here today. And again, I think this is not a partisan issue at all. It speaks to all of us because we all want to have our privacy rights respected.
Absolutely. I don't know if you heard the lead-in that I did on this with the FBI plan to kill Occupy leaders. I don't know. Did you hear that?
Unfortunately, I didn't get a bit of it.
No problem. Let me go over it a little bit, and then I kind of want to get your response to it, because I just read this story this morning. It comes out of InfoWars, and you got to take it with a grain of salt a little bit. But according to a journalist, David Lindorf, that the FBI was actually planning to assassinate leaders of the Occupy movement. And this comes from a document on a Freedom of Information Act that the FBI out of Houston evidently confirmed that the document's legitimate. And this kind of goes to what we're talking about here. I mean, these guys were actually engaged in the process of thinking about using sniper rifles against the Occupy movement. Can you believe that?
That's totally it's both shocking but not shocking at the same time. And tying in to the issue that you kindly invited me here today for drones, there was also a very similarly shocking revelation that Customs and Border Protection, a very large component within the Department of Homeland Security, operates drones primarily, we thought, a lot to patrol the border. However, recently released documents show a number of interesting things, including that they are contemplating weaponizing drones to be used on domestic airspace. Now, that is a very shocking revelation, particularly in conjunction with the report that you just mentioned, that if indeed the FBI was considering targeting Occupy leaders, why are we considering equipping drones with weapons?
Wow. I mean, I'm absolutely as flabbergasted as you are. I mean, I read that, and I had to read it twice because it's like, where the heck are we going? I mean, it does feather in with the drone issue because, I mean, where does this stop? We go back to the filibuster with Rand Paul, and he was talking about to our esteemed leader, Mr. Obama, that, do you have the power to kill Americans on American soil without trial? And his answer was yes, but we'll use discretion. And
there was a lot of hemming and hawing to that question. I think eventually he said no, but the amount of hemming and hawing was a little dismaying because it should have been a very easy no straight off.
Absolutely. But I mean, I think that Eric Holder, if I remember correctly, actually confirmed that he has the power to do it.
My recollection of the
I could be wrong.
The dialogue back and forth was that he used a lot of hedge words that made one feel very uncomfortable. That almost seemed like he was trying to reserve a yes, but then after Senator Paul pressed him and pressed him and pressed him, he eventually said no. But it was a very long road to get there, which raises the question of whether there were some wiggle words and what else was being reserved. I mean, as we know from the recent revelations from following whistleblower Edward Snowden's explosive documents that he shared, our NSA leaders, our national security leaders, have not been truthful with Congress. So using wiggle words and hedging in response to a very simple question like, do you think you can kill an American on American soil without a trial, it raises a lot of eyebrows.
Well, and I think they actually have the legal authority to do that. Now, that hasn't been challenged, but I think in the NDA or the Patriot Act, I'm not sure which one, I think it actually has given them the power to do that. Now, of course they didn't want to come out and say that openly, I believe, but just the fact that, well, they did drone that guy over there that was an American citizen I don't remember exactly which country it was in the Middle East there. Yemen. Yep.
Right, in Yemen. And so that, of course, the thing that one of the many troubling aspects of this is this prevalence of what we call secret law. So Congress passes these very, very broad statutes in response to fear-mongering and throwing out any effort to balance security and freedom. Those two things are not incompatible, and it's a false choice when we pit them as at odds with each other. But in any event, politicians fearmonger. They ran through overbroad statutes like the FISA amendments, the Patriot Act. And then what's even worse is that the administration, the executive, then develops a body of secret law interpreting the statutes to give them authorities even beyond what you and I might think the plain language, the plain words on the page mean. And that is, you know, a lot of what's been going on with Edward Snowden, that the government has come up with a secret interpretation of what they think the law means, acting under that, but then not sharing with the public or even Congress necessarily what that interpretation is. I mean, and if there's anything that should be open and easily accessible to the public, we have a right to understand how our government is interpreting and executing the laws that we have elected them to implement.
Now, when you say secret law, are you referring to executive fiat, or are you referring to regulations under the color of law that they're writing? Or where would this body of secret law that you're talking about be located?
So in some instances, for example, it's the FISA court. There is a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, and it interprets, so the government will submit a request for, in order to monitor X, Y, or Z supposed foreign national, and then the FISA court will issue an order interpreting whether it thinks the executive has the scope of the authority to do that under FISA. So these secret opinions interpreting FISA are not available to the public, and that's what groups like the ACLU and many other advocacy groups are suing in order to try to get a hold of. In addition, we have these gag orders that are imposed on the Internet companies. Companies like Google have now filed motions in the FISA court to challenge the gag order. So when you're a company like Google or a smaller provider without, a team of in-house lawyers, and you receive a national security letter or some other kind of national security-related order, they often contain what are called gag orders, saying you have to comply with this, and you cannot tell anyone that you've received this except maybe your lawyer. So these companies are having to comply with these very broad dragnet surveillance requirements, and they're not allowed to talk about it. So following the revelations, the Snowden revelations, a couple of the larger Internet companies have moved in the FISA court to say, we're restrained from speaking about these national security orders, and we think that's a violation of our First Amendment rights. So please lift this gag order. It's censorship.
Well, I don't remember recall reading anything about a FISA court in the Constitution. No. Where exactly did that authority come from?
It's a fair question.
So, there's kind of a pregnant pause.
Yeah.
There. So evidently there is no authority.
Well, one of the huge difficulties that we've seen over and over in a series of cases that the ACLU and other groups have brought since 9/11 and the whole war on terror are that there are a number of barriers to challenging these this enormous explosion of the national security state. So you have to be in federal court. You can't be in state court if you want to challenge something that the federal government is doing. But there are various barriers to even getting through the courthouse doors. One is the so-called standing doctrine, as it's been interpreted by the court. The standing doctrine is a constitutional doctrine, but as it has been interpreted by the court, it really limits who can be in federal court to challenge programs. And there ends up being a particular circularity because you have to show that you were, quote-unquote, actually injured. But if you're trying to challenge a spying program, this means that you have to prove that you were spied on. And if you can't prove that you were spied on, then you can't get into federal court.
So you have no standing then because you're there's no injury. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. But then you couple that with another doctrine that the courts have developed, and that's called the state secrets doctrine. So there are some issues that are so secret that you cannot litigate about them at all. For example, there was a case we brought challenging the federal government's rendition program where they would just pick up people, send them abroad, and torture them.
Wow.
And we based the allegations of a complaint on a number of well-publicized documented media accounts, UN reports, and we actually had a plaintiff who had been the subject of this rendition program and had been tortured for months and was innocent, and he was actually injured beyond a doubt. However, the state secret doctrine prevented the courts from litigating it because the government said the subject matter and the evidence involved are so secret, even though they've been published all over the newspaper and the UN reports, that we can't litigate about it, and the courts have agreed. So you couple the standing doctrine and the state secret doctrine with standing, you need to prove that you were spied on. With state secrets, you can't get any information because it's all a state secret, so you can never prove who was spied on, and then you can never challenge these programs.
Okay, Linda.
You have a whistleblower like Edward Snowden.
Hold that. Unfortunately, we have to go to a break right now, and we'll pick that up on the other side. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Shasta County, this is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Everyone here at Bastiani Arms wants you to know that we're proud to be your local gun shop. There's a special feeling running a small shop. It gives us a chance to spend more time with you, getting to know your needs, your shooting habits, helping us become the best shop we can for you. It also allows us to order just what we need. Keeping our overhead down means keeping our prices down, tailoring everything in the store for you, the customer. We'd like to remind you, it's never too early to learn gun safety, so bring the family down because we'd love to meet them. Bastiani Arms, Larkspur Lane, 222-8222. Join the revolution.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
Wake up, America. You're too young to die.
This Sunday, we welcome immigration expert Alex Landy, who reminds us our government has the duty to enforce our immigration laws without apology to maintain our nation's sovereign status, and that we the people have the right to make sure our public servants are doing this. Call and share your thoughts with us on the current immigration debate this week on We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
We're back. Never let a good crisis go to waste is the first thing that came to my mind. Talking about the 9/11 and wow, you know, these are some revelations that are just absolutely amazing to me with this FISA court and the restrictions on it. But let's go back to Snowden, Linda, and talk about him a little bit, because, you know, the mainstream media has been painting him as a total traitor and this and that. And, you know, my take is that I think the guy's probably a hero. I don't want him revealing any secrets to Russia or China or anything, but who's he released this information to so far has only been the American public, as far as I know. So what's your take on it, Linda?
Well, I think that's exactly right. I think whistleblowers serve a long and honored tradition in our country, and we need to be recognizing Edward Snowden for his courage at great personal risk in coming forward with these very shocking revelations that is really having our nation's leaders scrambling, and the NSA, the head of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, caught out lying to Congress. Claiming earlier this year in direct response to a question that that NSA does not collect any kind of information on millions of Americans, and in fact he's apologized now to Congress for absolutely lying on about that. So it is shocking that it gets to a young gentleman who is putting his entire life in jeopardy in order to get the truth to the American public. And keep in mind too that he has he obviously had access to a treasure trove of information, and he has very consciously been selective about what he has been releasing. He could have released the names of, if he simply wanted to harm the United States, he could have released the names of undercover operatives, but he's obviously absolutely refused to do that because that would put people in harm's way.
Sure.
He could have, for private gain, sold this information on the black market. There are many, many countries and private entities who would love to have this information, but that's not what he's done. He's doing this because he truly believes it's in the public interest.
Well, you can't help but think that the mainstream media is so in the tank at this point with their, it doesn't matter which one you're looking at, in my opinion. But I think that what we've got here is we're one step away from a dictatorship here if we're not careful. We've vested so much power in the executive branch at this point that, and the courts seem to side with the government and so forth. And I can't say too much good about the legislative branch at this point either. I mean, it seems like we're getting big government shoved down our throat here, and we don't have a lot to say about it.
Well, things do seem to be stuck in Congress, which is terribly unfortunate. Going back, for example, to the issue of drones, it is extremely troubling that we have on the one hand, big government, but on the other hand, a lack of regulation. And here's what I mean. So the Customs and Border Protection, for example, this recent report that was released, in between 2010 and 2012, they had an eightfold increase in the number of flights, the number of missions that they did on behalf of state, local, and non-customs and border patrol federal agencies. So they're basically loaning out their drones to other entities. But at the same time, we have a complete lack of a framework for how to regulate how these drones should be flown, when they should be flown, what should be done with the data, and how do we protect our privacy. So there's this odd combination of at once a growth in the government, but at the same time, a lack of a sufficient framework to regulate it.
Have you seen or heard of the Dennis Michael Lynch video, They Come to America Too?
No, please tell me about it.
Yeah, I would highly recommend that you get a hold of that. I'll get the information before the end of the show on where to go. They had it on Hannity the other night, but I've watched it in a private DVD that this guy is doing about the border security. Very enlightening about what is actually happening down there on the border as far as how porous it is and who's actually coming over. But it kind of feathers into what we're talking about here. I don't think we're being told the truth on a lot of this stuff across the board on everything, and they're hiding so much of it that I'm not sure we know what's going on about half the time.
Right. No, it's very troubling. And, fortunately, we do have a few every now and then. I'm always really pleased and delighted, but somewhat surprised when the Freedom of Information Act works.
I totally understand. I litigate against the IRS for a living a lot of times. And I'll tell you, sometimes the Freedom of Information Act is, it takes you so much time to get anything. It's almost worthless sometimes.
Right. And then every now and then you get these gems and you're like, wow, it works. So you have these exciting moments. But, again, I think the report that the documents that the Electronic Frontier Foundation got just a few days ago from the Customs and Border Patrol are really illuminating, because they show, you know, a couple things. One, that the Customs and Border Patrol is actually planning to increase surveillance capabilities, expand operations, and even possibly to weaponize their drones.
Wow.
And two, they're also, they have, you know, in a two-year period between 2010 and 2012, an eightfold increase in the number of missions they flew for other governmental agencies. And the third thing that's really troubling is that there's really no framework for how they do any of this. So do they have a process in place to figure out when they're going to loan something out, you know, to determine what missions for other governmental agencies, you know, are appropriate, how that's going to work? All that they came back with was a one-page PowerPoint slide that says, customer submits request, the director forwards it to the field unit, and the field unit answers the question, can we fly the mission? But there's no criteria for deciding
wow.
when they should or shouldn't.
Unbelievable.
And coupled with that, there's absolutely no framework for what to do with the data. How do we minimize the, there may be all kinds of good reasons to fly a drone if you're, you know, doing some kind of agricultural, you know, crop monitoring, or wet, you know, some biologist is trying to track the, you know, receding wetlands or the, you know, there's some weather, patterns are being monitored. But if that's the case, then the data should only be used for that purpose. What do we do? What measures do we have in place to ensure that someone who happens to live nearby, their information isn't scooped up in that data and then isn't forwarded and disseminated to other agencies for unknown purposes?
Yeah, that seems to be a problem with this whole NSA deal. I did pull up, if you want to write this down, I highly recommend you go watch this DVD. It's a very nonpartisan thing. It's, theycometoamerica.com is the name of the website with, this, guy,
Dennis Michael Lynch.
I'm sorry, Dennis Michael Lynch. But watch that, and it's very enlightening because he does a pretty much nonpartisan study on this border thing, and it feathers kind of into what we're talking about. You know, we're being screened out a lot of the information. But that aside, moving on here.
Right. No, you know, and speaking of the border, thank you for that information. I'll definitely check it out. One of the things that we see over and over with the acquisition of new surveillance technology is something we call mission creep.
Right.
So right now, the main sort of the main entity that has domestic drones is Customs and Border Protection. Obviously, the FAA has been ordered by Congress to integrate the drones into domestic airspace by 2015. So in a few years, we're going to see a proliferation. At this juncture, however, one of the main governmental entities that has it is Customs and Border Protection. So you sell it to the public by saying, oh, we need to patrol our ports. Why don't we acquire the latest gadget? It works overseas. We'll use it here. No problem. We're just going to be monitoring. But what we already see is the beginning of mission creep. A, they're thinking about weaponizing it, so it's not just about monitoring the border. B, they're already loaning it out to a ton of other non-border patrol agencies. So this is the classic example of mission creep. You start small, and you sell it to the public with something that sounds really appealing,
mm-hmm.
and then it expands beyond and beyond and beyond.
Yeah, that seems to be how this whole thing works with the big government getting out of control is that, you know, I mean, we take an event like 9/11 and all of a sudden, in order to protect us, we lose all of our freedom if we're not careful here. And the government takes control of so many aspects of our lives that, you know, security and freedom sometimes, you know, are at opposites. And so I believe that if we're not careful, you know, like you say, they slip it in under the auspice of doing something good. And pretty soon, you know, we're all locked down in rabbit hutches here if we're not careful.
I think that's a really important point. And I think the job is, you know, the responsibility is on us to not accept the rhetoric about security and freedom being, you know, a trade-off. It's not a trade-off. We can have both of them, and we need to trust our leaders to make sure that they strike a balance and that they don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, and have some kind of a framework, like you say. I mean, you know, I always think of Washington's quote that government is not, reason is not eloquence, it is force. Force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And his, he said you basically had to keep this thing caged up under the lock and key of a constitution and so forth. And that's what we're kind of talking about. We're sort of slipping out of that. It's getting out of the cage on us if we're not careful, and it'll consume us if we don't start putting some kind of restrictions on it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So
I think with that, Linda, we need to go to another break. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
You are irresistible.
Oh, pure and simple.
Naturally the best.
We're Mount Shasta Springwater.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
All of these are fine.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media and Community Radio for the World. We're back here with Linda Lai from the ACLU, and she's an attorney. And I'll tell you, she's a just a so much information.
Yeah, a lot of information I'm not that even sure. We didn't even know about.
Yeah, lost for words here.
Sounds like I'm doing my job then.
You're doing great.
You're doing a great job, Linda. Absolutely. I was just reading this article here. This is posted on your page at the ACLU website, Free Future. And this article is, the court ruling gives FBI too much leeway on surveillance technology. And the case involved Daniel Rigmaiden, who was being criminally prosecuted for alleged electronic tax fraud scheme and so forth. And the government used a surveillance device known as a Stingray to locate Mr. Rigmaiden. A Stingray operates by simulating a tower, a cell tower, and tricking all wireless devices on the same network in the immediate vicinity to communicate with it. Could you talk about that a little bit? That's the first time I've actually heard that it actually takes over the cell phones in the area.
Oh, so this is one of my favorite topics.
Oh, good.
yes, there is a very sophisticated surveillance tool commonly known as a Stingray. That's actually a brand name by one of the major manufacturers, Harris Corporation. The generic term is what's called an IMSI catcher, IMSI, for International Mobile Subscriber Identity Number. That's the unique number assigned to each wireless device. And so an IMSI catcher basically simulates a cell tower, as you mentioned. And because all of the phones on the same network think it's a cell tower, they will, and because the IMSI catcher is going to be closer to the, from wherever it is, it's going to have a stronger signal than the nearest cell tower, phones will, or other wireless devices, will disconnect with the real cell tower and then connect with the IMSI catcher. Now, the IMSI catchers can be used for a number of different things. They're primarily used by law enforcement to track someone's location. Basically, they stick the IMSI catcher in a van and they drive it around, and then they can triangulate the position of a target device. But in the process of doing so, they also scoop up the information of various other third parties as to whom there's no probable cause to search. So IMSI catchers have very, very far-reaching Fourth Amendment consequences because, unlike other forms of location tracking technology like a GPS device which you stick on a particular car, IMSI catchers are by their nature indiscriminate. They scoop up third-party information. So we just need to trust the government that they're not doing anything with that third-party information.
just like the NSA.
Exactly. But even if they're not doing anything with that third-party information, they're still scooping it up at the outset. So the analogy I give is like if you were conducting a search, say I'm the government, I go to court, and I have probable cause to believe that John Doe is, you know, manufacturing methamphetamine at, 10 Main Street. And I say, I need to go check 10 Main Street. I need a search warrant to go check 10 Main Street. And the court says, oh, sure, go in and search 10 Main Street. Looks like you got a ton of evidence on John Doe. Well, if I do the Stingray search, what I'm really doing, it's as though 10 Main Street is a 100-unit or a 1,000-unit apartment building. John Doe is somewhere in that apartment building. I don't know where, but I'm going to search every single apartment in that 100- or 1,000-unit apartment building until I find John Doe. That's not how the Fourth Amendment works.
Wow, that's just blanketly. And then what do they do with the information after they get it? I mean, they could future reference any time. We don't know if they dump it. I mean,
well, in the Rigmaiden case, the government did destroy it.
Oh, they did.
And they destroyed the third party data at the end of the mission. But that poses another really interesting issue. So Rigmaiden is basically the only case that we know of in the country where the government has conceded to using the Stingray in order to track a suspect. The thing that was really troubling about, there are many aspects of the Rigmaiden case that are troubling. One aspect that was troubling was that when the government says it went into court and got authorization to do it, but when I actually got the documents that, were the supposed court search warrant, they didn't look like a normal search warrant at all. And what was even more troubling was the government never explained to the court, we're going to use a Stingray. This is what a Stingray is. It simulates a cell tower. It picks up third-party information and all of these other really important facts to a constitutional analysis. So the government just said, we have this guy, the hacker. We don't know his real identity. We know he's at X, Y, or Z in the general vicinity, and we want to track his precise location. Please let us do so. And it didn't say anything about how they were going to do it, how invasive the Stingray search is. The court signed off thinking that it was a much more innocuous and familiar form of technology known as a pen register or trap and trace device. The court was not told the really important fact that Stingrays scoop up third-party information. So what we argued in this case was that the government has a duty of candor when it's seeking search warrants. It has a duty of candor to the court to explain when it's using a sophisticated new surveillance tool because the court needs that information in order to understand the constitutional implications of the search warrant request.
How the technology works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because here the court didn't know that the Stingray would scoop up third-party information. And if the court had known, maybe the court would have granted the search warrant, but maybe it wouldn't have. Maybe the court would have imposed limits on the search warrant, like you can only use a broadcast radius of 100 meters. Stingrays have a tremendously variable broadcast radius. It can be from several meters to, a kilometer. So that has a hugely varying third-party impact. There are all kinds of limits on the search that it was the federal court's duty to oversee. The government, by withholding information about the Stingray, the government basically was writing its own search warrant, and that's not how the Fourth Amendment works.
Well, and in that case, with that kind of technology, letting the court know that it was using the technology or what it could do in the first place, how is there's no analyzation of the technology, so over a period of time, do we keep putting our stamp of approval on something that's gathering other information than what it's supposed to be gathering? And what are the ramifications of that in the long run? I mean, especially when you're going over, American soil, could they just, in the wrong hands, they could just scoop up everybody's information willy-nilly and use it for any purpose they want.
And that's exactly right. And I have to say, because for fun, I look at websites like the Harris Corporation and check out their latest product sheets on different surveillance tools.
You don't have a life, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's kind of fun. So, one thing that I have noticed is that for the next generation of MC catchers or stingrays, they're looking at making them airborne devices. What do I interpret that as? Outfitting it on a drone.
Yeah, that's, I'll tell you, that it's hard to fathom exactly what that could mean from a perspective of who's in control of that. I mean, what can they actually mine data? I mean, what kind of data? I mean, how much data can they mine? What can they do with it? Boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of unanswered questions there.
Absolutely. And these stingrays, many of them are configured for law enforcement just to capture location. But depending on how you configure it, they can also scoop up content because, after all, they're a fake cell tower. And obviously, the cell tower has access to your voice and data. So if you basically set up and configure the MC catcher on both the voice channel and what's called the command channel, it can pick up not only sort of subscriber information like what the electronic serial number or the location of the device is, but it could also scoop up voice and data.
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I lost trust in my government quite some time ago, and I just don't trust them at all anymore with anything, and I don't care whether it's a Republican or a Democrat administration or Congress or Senate or any of that stuff. I mean, I'm just at the point where I don't trust any of these guys. I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, I have this naive belief that, we have a constitution, and it's, when I get dismayed about the government and when it's behaving me, then I think we need to, to exercise our rights under the constitution. We can vote our preferences. We can, go to court. We can hold demonstrations, raise public awareness, and I still write letters to my Congress people.
Yeah, I do too.
Sometimes
I do too.
We still plug into all of that, but we still have to wonder once in a while.
Well, I think you're spot on with what's going to change. This is public information and public opinion and public involvement, and all of those need to start happening, and people need to start understanding, what their government is doing, how it works, and how to keep it under control. And it's starting to happen. I think the tide's turning, and I think that we're going to see a resurgence of freedom and constitutional adherence, but there's going to probably be some pain between here and there.
Right.
And with that kind of leads us into letting people know that you will be speaking at the Tea Party on June 15th. Is that correct, Linda?
Yes, I was just about to say that because my time was running out, and I'm so grateful for you to give me the opportunity to be on your show and to plug that. I'm really looking forward to coming up to the city of Reading to address you. You all faced a really interesting drone issue recently when, or I guess it was a few months ago, when the city council voted to approve the letter of intent for the city of Reading to join Ventura County's bid to the FAA to become one of six drone testing sites in the country. Now, we don't know whether Ventura County and, in turn, Reading will be selected as a drone testing site, but I think it's the beginning of a really interesting conversation. There's all kinds of exciting new technology out there, and technology can be used for good or for ill. So it's for on us to make sure that we have the right framework so that we can enjoy the benefits of technology, but also, you know, put the beast in a cage.
Because, absolutely.
You know, technology is supposed to serve us. We're not supposed to serve.
Listen, Linda, we're out of time, and I would love to meet you in person, and we will here pretty soon. We better mention that Stan Statham will be at the Tea Party on Monday night, and he's talking about splitting up the state.
And we want to thank you again, Linda, for being a guest on our show today, and look forward to seeing you on June 15th.
Government is not reason. Government is not reason. Is this force? And force like fire is an inner servant and fearful master. And we'll see you next week on Sovereign Mind Radio.
And this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
You're listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta, Reading.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Now the president of Bolivia is extending an invitation to an American accused of espionage. That's after Nicaragua and Venezuela.
According to The Guardian, the U.S. has asked Venezuela to extradite NSA leaker Edward Snowden if he were to find asylum there. Now, we don't know if there are any conditions on Venezuela's offer to provide asylum for Snowden, but Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has said that Snowden can come live out his days in the homeland of former Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, who is a frequent critic of the U.S. Maduro made the remarks on July 5th, which is Venezuela's Independence Day. There are no direct flights from Moscow, where Snowden is believed to be holed up, to Venezuela, but it's possible that he could fly through Cuba to get there. In Washington, Molly Henneberg, Fox News Radio.
At least 36 people killed in protests overnight across Egypt.
Supporters of ousted Islamist president.